T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hello, everybody. It's a sunny Tuesday, December 1st. Chad Hartman, Adam Carter, Dan Cook, News Talk 830 WCCO. Adam, let's preview Ask Adam Anything. This is the 12th month of the year. I'm breaking that news exclusively right here in your own personal monthly pecking order. Since I believe you have suggested... incorrectly, by the way, that September is the best month.
It is the best
month. It's not September?
No, it is September.
Okay.
You said incorrectly, but you're incorrect and you're incorrect.
Oh, okay. You're incorrect about my incorrect, but you're incorrect. Where is December in your incorrect pecking order of months in the state of Minnesota?
It's pretty high up there. Just
Oh, jeez.
Well, in the state of Minnesota specifically?
Yeah, well, you live here. So, I mean, it'd be higher for me if I was in, like, Naples, Florida.
Yeah, but I think the warmth and comfort of the holiday season, I think, jumps it up there. Plus, it's really the only month we kind of accept snow. You know, it's like it's December.
Oh, I think we do in January, don't we?
Well, I mean, we accept it, but it doesn't mean we like it. I think we like the snow most in December because it is the blanket that... that adds to the sparkling of our trees, and it's the season, and we accept it with anticipation, and then January comes around, New Year's comes around, it's like, okay, I'm done.
Dan, have we started drug testing the newsroom recently? I was the warm blanket. I mean, I thought
it wasn't
sure where he was going.
Poetically put on Adam's part.
Yes.
I couldn't agree with him more.
I mean. So, Adam, September's one for you. Are you now suggesting December is number two for you?
No. Strictly based on weather. I mean, if we're just strictly basing...
No. Just, I mean, however you want to base it. However you want to base it.
I'm confused now. I mean, if I'm basing it... If September is the best month weather-wise in this part of the country...
Wrong, by the way.
No, I'm right.
June, July, August, both better. All better.
But overall, month.
The month you most enjoy living in Minnesota
is September.
September.
Right.
Okay?
December's probably, you know. It's probably like... Sixth, maybe?
Middle of the pack.
That's about as middle as you can
get. According to you, it's the Teddy Bridgewater of months.
Yeah. I'd have to write him down.
Just kind of came up with it. You know, idea guy. You know? Feed mayonnaise to tuna. Night shift, if you're paying attention. June is one. July is two. August is three. September's four. May's five. And I'll go December 6th. I'm with Adam Carter. December is the Teddy Bridgewater of months. How about you?
Put it this way. December of all the winter months, the winter adjacent months, December is easily the number one winter adjacent month in Minnesota. I don't think there's any question about that.
How about November? I mean, Thanksgiving.
I don't count November as a winter adjacent month. Winter doesn't start until middle or late December.
Okay, mister.
I'm just saying.
Mr. Dates, I consider
November is a late fall month.
Yeah. Another reason not a winter. Fall is overrated. So December is also middle of the pack for you.
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
Okay, what's last?
February. February is when we're over.
I think that's over, but because March throws some
curveballs.
March gives you some good days, though.
Yeah.
March will give you throw you a bone once.
April sucks, though. You know, April really has sucked lately, too. I mean,
our springs have been lousy.
You should be turning the corner by April, but we've gotten big snowfalls in the last couple of years in April.
Massive dumps, I think the president would say. Massive dumps. That's a tease of Ask Adam Anything, bottom of the hour. Jamie Ukas, 105. Joe Freeburg, 135. And Sheriff Bob Fletcher's making a lot of news lately. Bob Fletcher on the show at 235. Many, many times on this station, on The Fan, I have defended and believed in downtown Minneapolis. When I would hear so frequently from individuals in the suburbs or greater Minnesota, Dan and I call it greater Minnesota. Adam, is kind of disdainfully calls it outstate Minnesota. Dan, we don't do that.
No,
right?
I always refer to it as greater Minnesota.
I don't know why Adam continues to do that. No, it's dangerous. It's not safe. There's nothing going down there. And I would dismiss that. I would say you're wrong. You're missing out. There are parts maybe you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention to what's going on. The reality is I still believe in downtown. It is a shell of its former self. It is a facsimile of its former self. Closed circuit. The main reason why it is not close is COVID. Not close. But we also have a crime issue that is getting worse. We talked, for those folks who have been listening to us for a while, thank you very much. We talked about this a lot last year. Our friend Jay Ettinger came in a couple times and we talked about it. Jay owning the poorhouse and being a very visible downtown resident in what he believes in, what he doesn't believe in. We had a couple testing encounters with Jacob Fry on this. One testy interview with council member Fletcher. On policies and what is working and what is not working. And we have a police department, much like almost all police departments across the country, where a small, and I repeat, I will emphasize, small number of officers are not up to the job. Where we have too much racial bias throughout this country, including in Minneapolis and St. Paul. The data, to me, is convincing, and it's clear. Look it up. I can give you the data if you want it. So, yes, we need to make adjustments. We need to look at better training. We need to look at what the hell Derek Chauvin was doing with George Floyd for not 1 minute, not 2 minutes, but 8 minutes and 46 seconds and say, well, let's see if it holds up legally. But we all know this. It wasn't right. It was wrong. And I believe without question the chances were higher that a white man would have been off that ground compared to a black man. You can disagree with me, but I believe that 100%. So we need to figure out what is going on and why a small percentage of officers continue to act that way and why the arrest rates are higher. Also, what the hell is going on with opportunities for people of color compared to whites? What is going on within schools, job opportunities, salaries, education? So core fundamental opportunities. So it's not just the lottery, okay? It's not just the birth lottery that worked out well for the three of us and didn't work out well for somebody else. But we also need a strong police. We also need numbers. And with crime in parts of Minneapolis jumping dramatically, the last thing we need to be doing, I repeat, the last thing we need to be doing is talking about dramatically cutting the police department when the number of police officers was woefully understaffed before. Yes, let's find the cops who aren't up to the speed and let them go. Let's also highlight the majority, the overwhelming majority who are fabulous at what they do. And we're better because of them. But again, we have this push again to reduce. And it is wrong, in my opinion. We've talked about this before. The mayor of Minneapolis and the police chief reacted to it yesterday. We talked about it yesterday. Let's talk more about it. You can chime in also. 651-989-9226. Minneapolis, biggest city in this state. When Minneapolis succeeds and flourishes, the rest of the state is a better place. Think about money that comes to our state driven by the biggest city. So you live in Park Rapids, you live in Rochester, you live in Duluth, and you act like you don't care? You should. Because if Minneapolis isn't succeeding, that's playing a large effect in the rest of the state on finances, on businesses, on enjoyment. And it should matter to everybody. Let's talk about it more with Adam and Dan when we come back. Don't forget, ask Adam anything in less than 15. So yesterday, when the mayor and police chief of Minneapolis, Fry and Arredondo, they rebuffed a proposal by the three council members to cut the Minneapolis police budget by nearly $8 million. The mayor called it irresponsible and untenable. The notion that in order to have a major comprehensive public safety strategy, you have to do away with one critical element, which is police, is wrong. We are hearing from communities right now that are looking for both and approach. This is literally life and death matter now, and we need to get it right. The lead person behind this is the city council president, Lisa Bender, who even in this Star Tribune story, unavailable for comment. We've tried to get her on. I can't even tell you how many times. Unavailable for comment. You're the city council president of the biggest city in the state, and you're perpetually unavailable for comment. Courage, Lisa. Real courage. By the way, those folks who don't make Madere Arredondo available over and over and over again, courage to you also. Biggest city available for the occasional press conference where, by the way, as a communicator, he's about a 10. But no, not available. Not available here, NPR, TV, all sorts of places. Unavailable. This, by the way, there's also a great story in the Tribune today about cities near me, parts of my life forever, Crystal, Robbinsdale, New Hope, adding social workers to join police officers. I am all for, Adam, understanding better how to treat issues where officers either have greater training or have others with them with expertise. But in a city that is under siege lately, to cut the number of officers, I think it's outrageous. I think it's dangerous. I think it's irresponsible, because this town is woefully lacking in officers now. We have so many officers that are off duty now. 120 officers, some form of leave, 500 shootings in the city, 80 homicides. And what we think we should do is reduce the number of officers, train them better, get better people out there, get people who can add to their skills. But more is the route, not less. What do you think?
And also to assume that, you know, a lot of these neighborhoods who have had where there's been problems in the trust between community members and police would like to see police go away. That's a foolish and often false claim too. I mean, yesterday listening to that news conference between the mayor and the chief pushing back at that plan, one thing that I hadn't realized or hadn't thought about was one of the aspects of improving police community relations you hear is making sure that people of color, especially younger people of color, have positive interactions with police officers. So that, yes, meaning that the only time they interact with cops is when there's trouble or there's problems. Mm-hmm. And how important it is to get cops in the community and improve the relationship so they see officers during friendly encounters. And that is counterintuitive with what the city council wants to do in cutting police officers. That's fewer cops. That's fewer cops who are would be able to be in a community when there's no trouble going on, when they'd be able to have friendly interactions with community members. And also the argument that, look, you know, the reason why we're proposing having, you know, mental health professionals respond to calls is because what do we always say? It's like police aren't psychologists, yet they are forced to be in positions where they're dealing with a mental health crisis that often ends badly. And, okay, we've reduced the numbers of officers. They're going to be asked to do more of that simply because there's fewer of them. So, yeah, I mean, you talk about wrong time, wrong place. I'll go back to what I said in the days after George Floyd died and the violence that happened. If this is if you're trying out some sort of large scale social experiment about community policing, pick your time to do it. And this ain't the time.
Well, and you nailed it. Great answer. I mean, it's so many good points. Dan, Jacob Frey tried that in the middle of the George Floyd follow-up when he listened to Jeremiah Ellison, who told him, take the police officers away from the precinct. Take them away. That'll slow things down. How'd that work out?
Pretty sure they burned it to the ground.
They burned to the ground.
Yeah.
They burned to the ground. Jeremiah was on this show, when was it, a year, year and a half ago, when we had the report of huge delays or non-answers in 911 calls and was debating me on semantics. Give me a break. Honestly, if somebody's calling in the city of Minneapolis and it's 911. And let's go with the percentage of folks where they're legitimate calls. I get we're going to have ones that are prank or they're misguided. It could go somewhere else. And I have no idea if Minneapolis is any worse than any other places. But for those folks, and the delay time was egregious. And the council members on with me, you were there, Dan. I mean, debating. Well, what does delay mean? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
This is safety of the citizens. And among Adam's excellent points, you should have that relationship more. I've come more around to living in the city. I pushed back on that for a while, Dan, because I just thought, let's get as many good officers as possible. But I now am more inclined. I don't know what the percentage is where there is great understanding. You're living and breathing and feeling that town. And this doesn't mean we don't have to understand why young kids, too often young males, end up in the direction they go and why they don't have the same opportunities that I had and that the two of us had. And how can we change that? With educational opportunities and job opportunities and fair treatment. But we can do that in both. Because the safety of a city is priority number one. And with 80-some homicides and the number of shootings taking place, which is way, way ahead of other years, to say, let's reduce it. How does that make any sense?
Well, it makes sense if you look at it strictly politically, right? I mean, which is what this ends up happening here, is that this isn't an issue of becomes less an issue of community safety and more an issue of politics and what plays well in the city of Minneapolis. But what's interesting about it is it plays well in certain areas of the city of Minneapolis, but not others. I think, you know, one of the great points Adam made was talking about these communities out there that have been affected by problematic interactions with police are not the ones screaming, you know, abolish the police necessarily. They're the ones saying, no, don't cut the police. We need more police. We need more of a presence. We need more communication. We need better interaction, not just getting rid of them. So taking that into account, I think, you know, the folks that came out right away after the George Floyd murder and said, hey, look, we got to get rid of the police. We got to make massive sweeping changes, misunderstood the moment and what was possible. The door is open to making some change, to trying some things, but to take this big a bite out of the budget in a time where crime is definitely up, staffing is way too down at the Minneapolis Police Department. I think, you know, the words that the mayor used yesterday, irresponsible, it fits very, very nicely.
Among the texts coming in, all parts of Minneapolis need more police. Yeah, this is not just downtown. Texter's right. We need more people like Don Samuels on city council. I'm all for more people like Don Samuels. Somebody telling me about the documentary Flint Town on Netflix. I'm aware of it. I have not had a chance
to see it. I think I did see that. That's a few years old, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think I did see that. Very good.
What'd you think?
Very good. I'd have to kind of remember a little bit more of what I watched, but and how it relates to our conversation now. But yeah, it's worth checking out.
Can't the Twins, Vikings, and Timberwolves chime in? I have no intention going to one of these games in Minneapolis. I know this for a fact. People within, in particular, the Twins and Timberwolves, not as much the Vikings because they're afternoon games, but the Twins and Wolves, when they look ahead to the potential of fans coming back, are extraordinarily concerned about convincing fans to come back to downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Because I've told you guys this on air and off air. The number of people I know who are still working downtown, like you two guys, or are down there occasionally, who either themselves or people they know have been accosted during the middle of the day compared to other years, it's not close. And that's with few people down there. So like when people say, wow, crime rates are down in Minneapolis, give me a break. Nobody's down there. I mean, it's just, the data is laughable. Sure, crime in downtown Minneapolis the last few months is down. Jeez, I wonder why. 15% of the people are normally down there. The examples are sadly and tragically endless of shootings that are up. And when you add to how many people are down there, it's head shaking. So this is a story we're not going to let up on this one in particular. And oh, by the way, it'd be nice if the police chief and the city council president would actually come on any of the shows. Okay, go on NPR, go on other outlets, talk to newspapers. It's very, very rare when they do it. And again, Bender is behind this major push and then doesn't make herself available. Are you kidding me?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.